Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you join us now for our devotion? Dr. Nick, would you start us off with song, scripture, and then prayer? Thank you.
Our song for this evening is "The Lord Will Make a Way Somehow."
Amen.
Like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging and the fury fall on me, I wonder what I have done that makes this race so hard to run. Then I say to my soul, take courage, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow. Yes, the Lord will make a way somehow. When beneath the cross I bow, He will take away each sorrow. Let Him have your burden now. When the load bears down so heavy, the weight is shone upon my brow. There's a sweet relief in knowing, oh, the Lord will make a way somehow.
Amen. Amen. The scripture reading to set the foundation for our study tonight is found in the book of Psalms 119, Psalm 119. This is the New Living Translation. Happy are people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey His decrees and search for Him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His path. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your principles, that I would not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands. When I learn your righteous laws, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your principles. Please don't give up on me. I read for you the 119 Psalms, verses 1 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to His word.
Amen. God, we come before you right now, and we just ask a special blessing that you would lead, guide, and direct us through this Bible study tonight, Lord, that we would be able to hear you and glorify you even as we learn and listen for your voice. Teach us through the scriptures of the Psalms tonight so that we can come to know you in a more intimate way and transforms our lives accordingly. We ask these blessings now and forevermore, and we just ask that you bless the teacher of the night, Brother Jefferson, Brother Eric Jefferson. We ask these blessings now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are so excited to be journeying through the Psalms, which is our topic for the month of April and May. And we started off the first week in April talking about the forsaken and the shepherd in Psalms 22 and 23. And the second week, we're looking at from sin to salvation. Well, actually, we missed the weekend. We looked at from sin to salvation. And then this week, even though we're a week behind, we're going to look at the celebration of God's word in Psalms 119, as Brother Eric read part of that tonight. Well, Brother Eric, we're excited to hear about this psalm and to learn from you what the Lord has been putting on your heart. So let's go. Let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Is it possible to get a roll call? I know I've got documents, Dr. Susie. Has anyone else joined us during the devotion? If not,
we
look get for
Brother, the... Brother Irvin. Yes, Irvin is on the phone, but he can't talk.
Okay.
Brother Carter.
Okay. All right, well, welcome, and anybody else, and they'll be joining us as we go along. So, yes, I have taken the liberty of wanting to study the longest psalm in the book. Actually, it's 176 verses, but we're not going to do all that tonight. Don't get flustered there. But I wanted to look at this psalm because it gives us a celebration of God's word, and it gives us an image of God through his word. For instance, when it's 105, when it says, a lamp unto my feet, let the word be a lamp unto my feet, giving light and direction and guiding and directing us. And so the Psalms is really going to look at, as we talk about following God's law, his precepts, his judgments, his statutes, and his word. And these are things that we should absolutely be doing when we say that we are followers of Christ and we love God. And so, you know, I always shudder and think when people say, well, you know, I love God, and then you see some of the stuff they do, and you're like, I don't see God anywhere in that. And if that's your love for God, then I know I don't have anything coming, being a mere human. And so this psalm is designed to let us see the image of God through God's word. And so tonight we'll you know, if we can get through verse 8-8, I'd be very happy. And if not, then I think Dr. Sue and I have struck a deal that we'll continue with the Psalms next month. Is that, Dr. Susie, was
that's
that
exactly
the
right.
deal we, that's the deal we struck?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so then we'll pick up the rest of it on our next study. So with that, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 again, and we're going to take these in chunks of about 8 or 7 or 8 verses at a time. And then have some dialogue about what the psalmist is saying in there, and how do we see God's word, and what is prevalent for each of us as we read these blocks of the psalm. So 119, 1 through 8 says, again, happy are people of integrity who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey his decrees and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his path. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your principles. Then I will not be disgraced when I compare my life to your commands. When I learn your righteous laws, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your principles. Please don't give up on me. And so for me, when I look at that, first of all, is that, you know, God says, you know, happy are the folks who, the psalmist says, happy are the folks who follow integrity. Happy are those who are living by God's laws, who are looking to God. Happy are those who are following the decrees. And God knew, as the psalmist knew, that we are going to come up short when we look at our lives compared to God's commands. But the very last part of that verse in there says, please don't give up on me. And I think we all need to have a mindset of asking God to do that throughout our day, every day, is, Lord, please don't give up on me. Please guide and direct me. Please help me to find my way in living according to your laws, your precepts, the guidance that you have set forth. Because me on my own accord, I cannot do that. Because that is just the sin that is in us. Dr. Nicholson, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always
evil
present.
Always present. Amen.
And so it's always present. It's always nipping at our heels, you know. And so the psalmist says there at the end of verse 8, please don't give up on me. And I think that is so appropriate for us to be mindful of. We need to be asking God not to give up. Anyone else get anything out of there that jumps out at them?
Well, I think you use the term happy are those that follow God's ways, and this translation said blessed are those. I think we have the concept that following God's ways will not make us happy. I think many of us think that we need to follow the ways of the world. I mean, we have a concept in our minds that our happiness comes through wealth, through position, through who we hang out with, people. Happiness comes through things like that. But this is, happy are the people that follow God's ways, his testimonies, and seek him with their whole heart. They also do no wrong. They walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts that we should keep them diligently. So I think that's sort of a foreign concept to people that especially are not walking with God, is that they can be happy in God.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, and I absolutely agree, because we as Christians make people who are not believers think that serving God is a chore.
Amen.
I mean, by the way that we carry on, the way that we act, and they're always like, oh, you under stress, this and that. Serving God is like that. And when I think back and read through the scripture of not saying that there was never any rough patches in people's lives, but we look at, you know, position and wealth, but Solomon started out serving the Lord immensely, and he was what? The richest man in the world at that time, the wisest man in the world, and I mean, he got more stuff than kings could ever even imagine.
Yeah, right.
Of course, we know his end story because he didn't continue to follow that. But I believe you're absolutely correct that if we choose to follow the Lord, that we can be happy, we can be blessed. All those things that the world says that make us, you know, successful, God will give you as well. And I kind of like his plan better than the world.
Well, this is Dr. Susan, if I might be able to elaborate a little bit. As I look at this text and listen to what Dr. Nix was, you know, sharing about, meaning the fact that people have a perspective and about happiness, and I think happiness is temporary. And so people who don't have a relationship with God, they can have temporary happiness with a little bit of money and what it'll provide for the moment. But that's fleeting. That's not going to last. What we want to talk about is joy. See, joy and happiness are two different things, and this psalm to me is talking about his teachings on the law, and it's talking about how this psalmist loves the Lord and how he's acknowledging, you know, the evil that's apparent and around, and the wickedness and the arrogance and the pride and all the different that are things that are happening to him, yet he finds his refuge in God. And he's constantly crying out to God, trying to find solace. And in that solace, that's where his strength comes from. And I think sometimes we forget that as we are seeking things, and for us, we have, for human beings, when I said us, human beings, we get caught up into the physical realm of money and things. And like I said, they're toys and they're fleeting. But what is lasting is the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important for us to see how the psalmist was in love with God. And that, and when you have that kind of love, then your perspective on what's important changes. I have a friend of, she is wealthy by many means, but she's learning that her wealth is requiring a lot of work. And she's tired of what it takes to put the work up to keep the wealth. And so now the happiness that she was having is fleeting. And what's important to her is not seeking and running after that anymore, but to be settled in a relationship with God where she can flourish and experience God's joy. And I think we chase after things. We chase after that. And when we realize it after a while, it's like, what's really important? You know, when you get older, is it the monetary things? And Eric, you tell a story all the time about how you gave up the Java Gym. You know, is it the monetary things, or is it the understanding and the solitude that you're in God's will and living your life according to the purpose that God created you for? And so the difference is happiness versus joy. And for me, you know, I think that, you know, understanding the joy of the Lord is far better than having a car that's going to wear out, rust out, and, you know, temporary things.
Yeah, the things that Madison Avenue wants us to believe is the most important things in the world. You know, you see all commercials, you know, you haven't arrived if you wasn't driving a Lexus, or, you know, you wasn't stylish if you didn't have Jordache jeans. You remember when they came out? I mean, that was, oh, you have to have those. No, I don't have to have those. What I need to have is the Lord to make sure I can do the stuff that I need to do. And so it's absolutely right. And I think what a lot of people forget is that happiness is dependent upon external things.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's very fleeting. That's very fleeting. So let's look at 9 through 16. Dr. Nix, you have can you go ahead and read that one for me?
Well, I got a different translation here.
That's all right. That, whatever translation you got is fine.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your whole heart, I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commands. In my heart, I have hidden your word, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I have rejoiced, as I would over all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and look at your ways. I will take delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant. It was good just to 16?
No, yes, so let's stop at 16. So we talk about precepts and statutes, and we're talking about commandments and laws and decrees and all the words, all different terminology of the word of God through there. And here again, it is, you know, how can a young person stay pure? I mean, how can anybody stay pure?
Amen.
And that's following God's rules, following God's word, and following God's rules. And the psalmist understands that. And what I also like about throughout these, as we look at, he talks about how can you do these things, and then he clearly cries out that I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands, your precepts, your law. You know, help them to guide me, because we got to remember at this particular point in time that this is being written, we don't have this dispensation of grace. They have been given the law, and they are trying to live up
what
to the
mean?
Law. What do
what
I
do you mean by
dispensation?
When you use
we
yeah,
do
I mean,
not
you
have,
can't use
we,
big words without breaking them down. Break them down.
Dr. Snoozy,
break
okay,
them down.
Okay, so the dispensation of grace is that God has said, you know, okay, they can't live by the law. The law shows just how sinful they are. I have got to use this other mechanism to be able to give them salvation and save them, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ comes and dies on the cross. He takes on the sins of the world, our sins and everybody, my sins, your sins, and everybody else's sins, and he takes those upon the cross. God looks away, and Christ dies on the cross, giving up his life, his perfect life, for us imperfect people. And so now we are under the dispensation of grace, meaning that we are not given what we actually deserve. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and God looks at us, but he sees the reflection of Jesus, then he can forgive us of our sins if we ask him to and repent from those things. But this particular time period that this is being written, they don't have the dispensation of grace. Christ has not come. Christ has not died. Christ has not been resurrected. So when you read the 19th Psalm, you're going to always be referred to the law, the precepts, the commands, because that's what the people are being guided by at that particular point in time. Now, do you need to add anything else to that, Dr. Susie or Dr. Nooks?
No.
Well, I think you did a great job.
But here in 9 through 16, and then basically throughout this, so now David, so this is attributed to David in, wait a minute. So the psalmist is referring everything back to the commandments and the law. And so he's saying, you know, don't let me wander from that. Because if I wander from that, I'm going to get away from you, God. I'm going to get away from what you've been teaching me and what you've been holding me. And let me hide your words in my heart. How many of us really think about that today? Let me hide your words in my heart. Why do you think he said that, Peter? Let me hide your words in my heart. Anybody?
We need God's word.
Dr. Susie.
Yeah, we need his word.
I think the reason why he says, for me, I think the reason why he says to hide it in his heart is so that as he is, it's just like when we have something that's very important to us and we don't want anything to happen to it, we want to keep it sacred and special, we don't want anybody to come and take it away, we protect it. So he wants to be able to protect that which is dearest to him. And that's why I said this is a love story. So he wants to protect all of these teachings, all these precepts, all these things that can keep. See, the goal is to stay close to God. And those teachings, those learnings, and being obedient keeps him in close proximity and relationship to God. And the further he's away from that, then that causes separation. And so he wants to stay as close as possible.
Amen. And I also submit to folks out there is that when you talk about giving your heart to somebody, that's somebody you trust. Because you don't want anybody just doing anything with your heart. So that's somebody you absolutely trust, right? And if I'm going
to
hide God's words in my heart, if I'm going to hide God's words in my heart, I'm going to be as Christ was. Because you, and I relate to this every day. When Christ, after Christ was baptized and he was driven out in the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil, he quoted God's scriptures. Now, of course, he was the living word, but he quoted the scriptures. So whatever the devil threw at him, he's quoted the scriptures back at him. Man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live, you know, but under, you know, out of God's, under God's grace, God, you know what I'm trying to say, Doctor.
Every mouth, every word that proceeds out of the mouth.
Every word that
proceeds
out of God's mouth. He quoted the scriptures because he had those words close to him. And if we would commit ourselves to doing that, that as we're reading God's word and we're spending time in prayer, that when the devil comes upon us during the day and we know it's him, if we would quote some of these scriptures and live out some of these scriptures, with our heart, we would be hiding those words in our heart that we might not sin against God.
But the only way we can do that, Brother Eric, is if we have devotion and quiet time.
Absolutely.
And I feel that people run from that. They run from being even asked to be a part of quiet time and doing those things. Because, and again, I'm not sure exactly why they run from that. But I feel that we do. I think we don't want to be committed as we should, but you know,
Dr. Susie, you know what I think, and this is only error, and you out there listening, please don't hold this against me. But I think that we do that because we don't want to find who we really are and what we really are. I think that we run from that because we know that if we spend that time in devotion and word and prayer with God, we're going to get pricked about who we really are and what we really are, and we don't want to accept that. And you can't accept God's grace and mercy until you come to terms with that. We can pretend that we have it, but we cannot truly experience it fully until we come to terms with that. That we ain't all that we think that we are. Spend time in God's word and in devotion and reflection and Bible study. Those words are going to start to hit me upside the head like bricks and 2x4s. And I don't want it. Most people don't want that. Because now it defames their thought of themselves. Well, let me tell all of you, and let me tell you sincerely as I know how, we ain't all of that anyway. We are, the word says, we are a filthy rag, a stench in God's nostrils. That even on our best day, we couldn't be as holy as God needed us to be, as he created us to be. And we have to come to terms with that. And you're right, Dr. Sue, the only way to do that is devotion and prayer and time and fasting and Bible study and being with like-minded folks, having a conversation about that.
Amen.
And that takes us into the next set. Dr. Susie, you have 17 through 24?
Yes, I do. I would be more than happy to read it through the...
Thank you, please.
I think I have the NIV version.
Okay, that's
17
good.
Through 24 reads, "Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stay straight in your command." That's through 21.
Through 24, please.
Okay. "Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servants will mediate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors."
So here he is. Here's the psalmist asking God to be good to a servant that he might obey his words. He might live and obey his words. Not that he just might live, but he might live. Open his eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. You're not going to see the truth if you're not in God's word, if you're not seeking to find the truth about who and what we really are.
So, and this is a help to many people right now because many people are going through some difficult situations. And we got to know that the Lord and God's word are comforted or comfort to those that love him. This is like a prayer for help. And it's helpful to us to see that the psalmist, you know, did want to kind of set an example and places himself in the form of a servant, where you see loyalty, where you see submissiveness, where you see servitude. I mean, we serve with our lives God, not the other way around, even though we ask God stuff like you guys are genie, but, you know, and this is like a stranger that yearns for, again, that intimacy with God, that relationship with God, to have the word of God. And it's like they feel it so strongly. It's crushed and broken, and it's in the idea of being alienated from God, because it says, my soul is consumed, right?
Right.
My soul is consumed, meaning it's literally broken with longing. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a relationship with someone and y'all break up, you long
for that
person.
You can't eat, you can't sleep, you mope around.
There it is.
Everybody's like, what's wrong with you? Snap out of it. And you're like, you just don't understand. You must have never been in love before.
Come on.
And we're like, oh, suck it up and go on. And
yes, we do.
And it is painful.
Yes,
it is real. It is painful, and it is real. And when we have that kind of relationship with God, and we are out of step with God, we ought to feel that way. We ought to not just, you know, slap it off. Oh, you know, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Oh, you know, it wasn't no big deal. Oh, I, you know, told Dr. Susie off. Oh, ain't no big problem. The Lord told me I shouldn't have done it, but she'll be all right. I ain't going back and say I'm sorry. I'm not going back and ask her pardon and tell her I'm sorry. She'll be all right. And then over a couple of days, we just keep going on, and then some stuff starts happening, and we wonder, you know, what is that about? Well, we didn't take the opportunity to straighten that out with God. Not that God's going to punish you forever and ever, but if you're in a true relationship, he's going to bring that to your attention. And when when God brings stuff to your attention, he expects you to ask on that. And we just don't want to do that. How can I best say this? It's like, I want to tell God I love God, but I don't want none of the stuff that comes with showing you that I love you.
Come on.
How does that happen? How can you say you love a spouse and yet you won't have food in the house? You won't be concerned about their well-being? I mean, you can't do that. And I came to realize probably about 94, 95, maybe a little earlier, that really what God wanted from me was to have a relationship with God. God wanted a relationship, that I would seek God and I would trust God. I would turn to God. I would make God my confidence, and anything that was bothering me and going on, I would have a conversation with God about it, and then I would trust that God knew that and was going to work that situation out, whatever it was. Even if it wasn't what I thought it should have been, but God was going to work it out for God's best intentions. And I submit to our audience that's listening that once you get to that plane, your life becomes joyful. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have strifes and trials and tribulations. But even in the storm, the master is in charge of the ship.
Amen.
All right.
Isn't that what you saw? The Lord will make a way somehow?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Not only is he in charge of the ship, but all the weather and everything around the ship.
Amen, brother. Amen.
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 And so I'd rather be in the storm with the master than on dry land by myself.
Amen.
Let me read 25 through 32. This is the New Living Translation. I lie in the dust, completely discouraged. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your principles. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. I weep with grief. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself.
My Lord.
Give me the privilege of knowing your law. I have chosen to be faithful.
Say that one more time, Brother Eric.
Keep me from lying to myself, 29 says. Give me the privilege of knowing your laws. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your law. I cling to your decrees. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. If you will help me, I will run to follow your commandments. So for me, hey, keep me from lying to myself. Let your word guide and direct me and trick me. Let it be a mirror so I can see exactly who I am and what I am. Don't let me lie to myself. Because we got to put folks lying to themselves out there today.
And I think it was important that, you know, that we connect with that, because sometimes we lie to ourselves and we don't even recognize it. Sometimes something happens. We've lied to ourselves so long that we bought our own press clippings and we bought into that. And so until we get a revelation, sometimes that's why we have to stay in the Word and self-reflect, so that we can actually, like you said, God lets us know that we've lied to ourselves.
We only do that and
understand it after we reflect it, though.
And like I said, the second part of that is give me the privilege of knowing your law. What he's saying is that don't let me lie to myself. Let me know your law so that I can see what I am, so that I can turn from that and turn to you. Because your law is going to show me who you are and what you are. And that is very, very important for a believer of Christ and a lover of God.
Amen.
Because we will believe our own hype. We will believe, and he said, we will drink the Kool-Aid, and we will believe it. We will absolutely believe it. And that becomes, from my perspective, and this is my perspective, that then becomes a form of pride. And in 2 Kings, it said that pride is worse than as witchcraft. And we know how God feels about witchcraft.
Right.
Dr. Nooks, can you do 33 through 40? I know we're kind of taking these quickly, but there's a lot to unpack, and we got a lot to utilize. So 33 through 40.
Teach me, O Yahweh, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and eat it with my whole heart. Cause me to walk in the path of your commands, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimony and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Revive me in your ways. Fulfill your word. Keep your servant, which is to bring about a reverence for you. Turn away my disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. Look, I have longed for your precepts. Revive me in your right. Amen.
Yeah, what did that say about gain?
My dishonest gain.
Yeah, dishonest gain. This translation, 36, give me an eagerness for your decrees, and don't inflict me with the love for money.
Amen. Eric, just wanted to let you aware that we had the privilege of having Dr. Edwards with us today and Reverend Diggs.
Dr. Edwards,
thank you guys
welcome. Welcome all. Welcome, welcome. So don't inflict me with the love of money, dishonest gains. Let me not be concerned about the physical things here on earth. Let me cling to your laws.
In 35, I'm going to back up just a little bit. Make me walk along the path of your commandments, for that is where my happiness is found.
My Lord.
It didn't say, so we talked earlier about happiness being external to get that in its fleeting. And joy is internal. But listen to this again. Listen to this. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found.
Well, mine says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find the light.
Find the light, find my happiness, find my joy.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's predicated on walking in God's commandments, his laws, his precepts.
Amen.
And outside of that, there is none. That stuff that we think is happiness, that ain't it. I recall, God, you know, I know what I was, I know what I am. But I recall, you know, being younger and being out there and, you know, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. I tell girls, no, you don't love me. It's just lust. Let's just be honest. Because we don't even pretend to begin to know what love is as it ought to be. We've taken that word and use it for our benefit, whatever that may be, whoever you may be. But this is talking about finding that deep place in God's word, thus foreseeing God's image in his word. And I think that's very powerful, that this is God's image in his word.
Amen.
Help me abandon my shameful ways. Your laws are all I want in life. How many of us have reached that? That your laws are all I really want. Your relationship is all I really want. Your companionship, God, is all I really want.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Susie, can you 41 through 48?
I sure can. We are now reading Psalms 41 through, what was it, through what?
Yeah, 41 through 48 in Psalms 119.
41 through 48. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk out in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Amen.
Amen. So the psalmist, I want to get your take on it, but I want to pull out this one thing right away, is that the psalmist is saying that he's going to talk to kings about the decrees and will not be ashamed. So how many of us are going to talk to other people about God's love, grace, commandments, laws, and not be ashamed?
And not be changed, you said?
Not be ashamed.
Not be ashamed.
Oh, and not be ashamed.
Yeah. I mean, this says he's going to talk to the kings and tell them about God's law and will not be ashamed.
Well, I love
and how many of us.
We
how many of us
are not ashamed
not
of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Of course. That song reminds me that, you know, oftentimes when we get in a situation where we have to speak and stand on the word, then we find out if we're ashamed or not. We find out if we want to be. Well, let me ask this question, Brother Eric. What does it mean to be ashamed?
From my perspective, and you know, I'll ask everybody else too, is that for me, if you're ashamed of the laws and the gospel of Christ, and you're not sharing that, you're not testifying about that. You're not seeing somebody and God pricks your heart and say, you know, you can go over there and share that, because we think, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. You don't have to be. All you got to do is tell a person what God has done for you, talking about Christ's love and how it's affecting you and working in your life. And for me, being ashamed is that when you don't want to share that, then you're being ashamed of God's word and of God from my perspective.
Brother,
not everybody else, will you know, have a different out view on that, but that's from Eric.
Dr. Edwards, what do you think?
I have to come on,
sorry.
Right, Doc.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute because I'm driving. So what was the question again?
So, you know, when it talks about not being ashamed of the word, what does that mean to you?
That means that you believe, for me, it means that you believe in it enough where you, you're not ashamed of something. And, you're willing to stand up to a principle, you do it with a sense of confidence. You know, when they talk about no shame in my game, the person that's so confident about their abilities and about personally that they're willing to stand on it. That if we believe in the gospel, we believe in our faith strong enough that we're not ashamed of it. We tell everybody, we don't have to be embarrassed by it. We just stand with confidence and assurance that because it's what we actually believe that gives life and meaning and fullness to our life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Ellis.
So let's not be ashamed.
Brother Mike. Yeah, let me, do you mind if I add to that? This is Dr. Susie. And I don't know how many times in Bible study that people who won't speak out, and, you know, I was looking at the word ashamed and telling them it's sheepish, you know. And I wonder, is it okay for us to let people have an attitude that, you know, I can be quiet. I don't have to speak out. And, you know, I can be bashful because it's not my personality to speak out and to be upfront and to do this. So what do y'all think about that? How do we handle that? Because I thought it said that if you won't own me in front of my father, I can't. What does it say?
Yeah, well,
I can't own you.
You know, if you're not going to stand for me in front of the people, I'm not going to stand for you in front of my father. But this is Eric, and I just know that when you're on fire, when the Jeremiah is like fire set up in my bones, I can't keep it in. When you're on fire. Now, if you're just sitting there, like, you know, pretending, then if they're in Bible study, yeah, I mean, you need to draw something out of them. You need to get them engaged. You need to, you need to ask them their perspective on it. How do they understand that? Not that it's right or wrong. I just want to know where you are, because that's going to show you their growth maturation at that point.
Right.
And that's what Bible studies are about.
I have seen people in Bible study, Brother Eric, where they're very shy about speaking out. They just have a shy tendency. But I do believe that it's something that happens. If you don't speak about nothing else, that this is a time when you open up your mouth. Because it's like you said, it's something that you know that has happened in you that you have to tell other people. Even if, now, you may not do it as verbosely or as readily open, but you can't just not share. Even if you do it in your own methodology, you know what I mean? I don't know. Dr. Edwards, you've been around. Oh, he's gone. Brother Diggs, you know, you have lots of people in your congregation that may have been quiet, you know. How did you handle that?
Ask him to come off mute if he's trying to tell us.
Brother Mike, how did you handle that? Okay. So.
Okay, well,
anyway,
go ahead, Jay.
I wanted to say something about being ashamed first. Being ashamed, not really being grounded in a strong belief in God, such that people are silenced because they don't feel like they will be accepted if they speak up for God. So in other words, if you're in a setting like in business and people have a tendency not to want to bring up God, or you feel like you're out of place to mention God, then I think you are ashamed. You're shamed into silence about God. This isn't the place. We find this even at ceremonies where people don't mention the name of Jesus, where they pray and they don't mention Jesus. So, I mean, it's people are shamed into it to not speaking up for God because they don't feel like it's the right place. They don't feel a strong enough conviction that God's place is every place. So I find that a lot in people that supposedly are Christians, that they're shamed into not standing up for God or speaking a word for God. And I think people can be, people's personality is not the same as speaking up for God or not being ashamed of the gospel, because people can be generally not verbose, there are some people that are extroverts that are going to be louder, going to express themselves more, but a person that is an introvert can still express themselves, but they might do it in a different way, or they may not do it as fast or as loud, but their words can still be as strong. So personality, having an introverted personality doesn't mean that you're not speaking up for God, because I think people can still speak for God in different ways and different methodologies.
Yeah, let me share this real quick story with y'all. When I lived in Jacksonville, I used to run a program for kids who live in public housing communities with traditional Boy Scout troops. And, of course, one of the things of Boy Scout is being reverent. So I would take kids to church about once every 6 weeks. And a guy who worked for the city of Jacksonville, we were using HUD money for this program, and he was a Christian. He's like, well, church of state, man, you can't use, buses that the government's going to pay for to take kids to church. I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, you keep giving me the money, I'm taking kids to church. You don't want me taking them to church, don't give me the money. And he said, well, but you're doing good things with the money. We appreciate that. I said, and part of those good things are them going to church and learning about God. And I'm going to take them to church. So if you don't want me taking them to church, don't give me any more money. He said, no problem. We'll straighten it out. I said, there you go. Now, I could have very easily just said, okay. I could have went to convince her and said, well, HUD money and this, that, and other. But I felt it was important that those kids get to church when they kid, because I don't know if they were going to church any other time if they wasn't with me and the scout leaders. And we went to all denominations. We didn't just go to, my church. We went to all denominations. We went to Greek Orthodox church. We went to Episcopalian. We went to everybody. And so, to me, that's called not being ashamed, because that guy said, everybody could have said, well, we're not giving you any more money. I've been like, that's fine, because I'm sure the churches would have said, yeah, we'll pay for the bus to bring them to church. We'll send the bus for them. So let's not be ashamed. Let's speak up for God and God in whatever presence we feel necessary. But I do think, Dr. Susan, that in those settings that, when you notice them, you just ask them, okay, what do you think about that? How do you perceive that? How do you read that? How does that affect in your life? What does God work for you as you read that scripture in your life? Just start with one question. They may only answer one question. But then as they get into it and God starts working with them and then they get on fire again, you may not be able to keep them quiet. Let me read 49 through 56. Remember your promise to me,
for it is my only hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. The proud hold me in utter contentment, but I do not turn away from your law. I meditate on your age-old laws. O Lord, they comfort me. I am furious with the wicked, those who reject your laws. Your principles have been my music. Your principles have been the music of my life. Throughout the years of my pilgrimage, I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord, and I obey your law because of this. This is my happy way of life, obeying your commandments. All the years of my pilgrimage, your principles have been the music of my life. How many of us can say that? How many of us can say we any of us, any of y'all got a theme song?
Is it a theme song?
Yeah. And if you do, what would that be? And would that be reflected upon God? Or is it, you know, little R. Kelly, ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind? Well, there's a lot wrong with a little bump and grind.
My theme song is I Want Jesus to Walk With Me.
Amen, brother. Amen, Dr. Nooks. Music of my life, your laws. Your principles have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage.
Well, one of the things, this is Dr. Susie, that I find that as I go through the challenges of life, and sometimes they come at you pretty tough, that the hope is the love, what keeps me from giving up is the love that I have for the Lord and the fact that I know that God truly cares about me. And, you know, knowing that and knowing that that the Word will sustain me and restore me, that when I tiptoe back, you know, if I don't have enough strength, when I tiptoe back, that I can search and find that passage that says that, you know, no matter what, when you go through the fire, you won't get burnt. When you go through the water, you won't drown. And so,
yep.
You know, when I remember those scriptures, that's what we were talking about earlier about hiding it in your heart, that, you know, it gives you hope because you know that no matter how tough it gets, if you just hang on, even if you got a tied thread, you know, on wherever you are, and just hold on, that, you
yeah.
know, the promises of God are true, and that, you know, God's grace will be sufficient for me, that God won't leave me nor forsake me. It's a promise.
Yep.
And so though I'm going through this struggle, though I'm going through this trial, and I have to say this over and over to myself, because there are times when it gets really, really tough. And when I can't do it for myself and I go back to the Word, then the Word reminds me. And it
yeah,
gives me
Isaiah
hope.
43:2. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown.
That's it. That's
when
it.
You walk through the fire
and,
of oppression, you will not
said,
be burned up. The flames will
that's
not
the
consume
one. That's
you.
The one.
For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
All right.
Hallelujah.
That's the
Hallelujah.
One.
Hallelujah. Listen, let me read the rest of these and give a final thought and we'll go on to I'll turn it back over to you, Dr. Susie. 47-88. Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your words. With all my heart, I want your blessing. Be merciful just as you promised. I ponder the direction of my life, and I turn to follow your statutes, I'm sorry. I will hurry without lingering to obey your commandments. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your law. At midnight, I rise to thank you for your just law. Anyone who fears you is my friend, anyone who obeys your commandments. O Lord, the earth is full of your unfailing love. Teach me your principles. You have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. I believe in your commandments. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. You are good and do only good. Teach me your principles. Arrogant people have made up lies about me, but in truth I obey your commandments with all my heart. Their hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your law. The suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles. Your law is more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. Ooh. You made me, you created me, now give me the sense to follow your commands. May all who fear you find in me a cause of joy, for I have put my hopes in your word. I know, O Lord, that your decisions are fair. You disciplined me because I needed it. Now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised me, your servant. Surround me with your tender mercy so I may live, for your law is my delight. Bring disgrace upon the arrogant people who lie about me. Meanwhile, I will concentrate on your commandments. Let me be reconciled with all who fear you and know your decrees. May I be blameless in keeping your principles, that I will never have to be ashamed. I faint with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. My eyes are straining to see your promises come true. When will you comfort me? I am shriveled like a wineskin in the smoke, exhausted with waiting, but I cling to your principles and obey them. How long must I wait? When will you punish those who persecute me? These arrogant people who hate your laws have dug deep pits for me to fall into. All your commandments are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause. They almost finished me off, but I refuse to abandon your commandments. In your unfailing love, spare my life, and I can continue to obey your decrees. In summary, all that's going on, look to God and God's word. Find peace in God's word. Find protection in God's word. Find a direction in God's word. All that you're looking for is in God's law, God's precept, and God's commands, because what you will find there is that you will find God.
Amen.
This is James. I like David's writings because you see in him humanity. You see frailties.
Amen.
You see failings. And yet he still is reaching out to God. Because we know that David messed up over and over again, but David went through something for him to be saying that he was going to stand on God's precepts and laws. And he says that God had chastened him, you know, had punished him. And so he had been through something, and sometimes it takes us to go through something before we finally look up. We have our Damascus roads. But David keeps saying that he's messed up. I've messed up. I've messed up. You know, help me, help me, help me. And I think there's a lot to learn from him in this song.
Amen. And Dr. Nooks, and what I would tell the listeners is that you notice that David didn't try to put it on nobody else.
Yeah.
When he was convicted, he said, yep, that was me. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Restore me.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, back to you.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are so thankful that we got a chance to walk through 119 and ask that the Lord will bless us and bring to remembrance the things that we need to hold on to be able to glean from that and to grow from that. Are there any praise reports or prayer concerns?
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got some prayer that I need for my in-laws, Mr. and Mrs. Young. They are in the middle of relocating from the property they've been at for the last 20-something years and moving to a new area, and they both have significant health problems, and it has not been a smooth transition. And so I want to pray for their health and their transition and so that they may get settled and that all may be well.
Amen. Brother James, would you close us out tonight? Are there other praise reports and prayer concerns? I lift myself as it's time to begin to venture in another job, other job opportunities where I can serve as well. And so just asking that you would please keep me in prayer. And James, keep him in prayer as well, and Sydney. Just want to also praise the Lord for, we have two baptisms this Sunday coming up. And also, we've had 10 people join the church in the last 12 weeks and are going to have one more join next Sunday. And so God is doing a great thing. And all I can do is be still and be in awe of the work that God is doing. And prayerfully, people will see us when you preach and teach the word of God, that that's what draws people. It's not a gimmick. It's not. It's just bringing the word forward and trusting God and letting God add to the group. What God would
have. Amen.
So.
And we want to keep marking. Mark Bryan in prayer.
Amen.
God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word.
And Lester.
We thank you for your presence. And God, you've been mighty good to us, and we have failed many times. Still you love us. Still you forgive us and pick us up. God, we have special blessings upon the young as they move. After many years, we pray, God, that you would give them strength. For the health is not strong, but we know that you are. So we need your strength and comfort as they move. And God, we ask you to touch Dr. Susie in a special way as she moves and transitions to a new calling for her in your life, in her life. And God, we pray that you would lead her to the place that you would have her to be, that you would bless her tremendously, God. We give her over to you, believing all things are possible. And we're so grateful for the increase that you have added to the church that she's pastored these past few months. Bless those that have given their lives to you. And God, we pray that you would touch James and Sydney, Dr. Susan's children. Bless them in a special way. We pray a special blessing for Mark Bryant, healing in his body, in Jesus' name. And God, we pray for this Bible study and all those that are associated and affiliated with it, that you would bless them tremendously. God, we have been blessed by your word and your teachings tonight, and we move forward, God, with a better understanding of you in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.